Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. Eerie it is. And I am Dale Kate. How about that? Here along with
Dave Binkley from the Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here with a bunch of, another statue tonight, Dale.
Yep. Yeah, statues can be scary. We've seen that in movies. One of my favorite scary statues was in Jason and the Argonauts. The giant statue of Talos comes to life and goes after Jason and his men. All because Hercules was greedy and stole stuff, even though Hera had advised through yet another statue that the masthead of the Argo warned Jason, don't do anything, get food and get out, And of course, Hercules got a little greedy, brought Talos to life, and madness ensues.
Yep.
But that was a really good scene, not only that, but with how the, how the crew of the Argo overcame that big giant statue.
Well, I'm trying to think of other statues that
I was doing that too, during the week. I like to throw little teasers out about our topic, both on my personal page and on the Eerie House Facebook page. And of course, I came up with Pazuzu from The Exorcist. And I was going to put something from a film from the 60s called Curse of the Faceless Man. Not really a statue, though. I believe it was a person who had got covered by Vesuvius. the eruption of the famed historical eruption of Vesuvius and was covered in like hardened lava and stone. Don't know that you'd call that a statue.
Yeah, and thinking of some TV episodes, I think there was at least one Lost in Space episode about turning people to statues there. I know there was one Night Stalker.
Oh, you're thinking of the first episode of the second series where they're on that penal colony and they froze those people to statues.
Yeah.
On little pedestals. Yeah, that was a good one, Dave.
That and I'm thinking of one where Kathy Lee Crosby ended as ended up as a statue in something about the love goddess or something like that. Wasn't maybe one of my most favorite episodes, but it is one where somebody ended up as a statue. So I'm just trying to think of some other things where people would end up as a statue. Of course, there was we had one where they ended up as a statue early with the Peter Lorre story early on that he did on the Mystery in the Air series that he did, the summer replacement for the Abbot Costello show.
Yeah. And, I know in the presence of very attractive ladies, part of me turns kind of statue-like, but...
Or used to.
Yeah, maybe that's more accurate. It's not so funny, Dave.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness. More information than you can possibly stand. Hopefully we'll keep most of that to radio.
And usually to ourselves, yes.
Yes. Let's see. Oh, there you go. And we briefly touched on it, but a very classic silent film, The Golem, with Paul Rudd.
Yes.
There's a statue
to
life for you.
It is. I was trying to kind of think of TV episodes, and they're kind of few and far between.
They are. You probably have to explore more of the horror sci-fi type TV shows to maybe even have a chance at something like that.
Right.
How about you folks listening there in the chat? Do you got any fond remembrances of statues coming to life or just somehow where a statue is intrinsic to the story, share with us in the chat if you can think of anything. Love to see it. We'll probably hit our foreheads and go, duh, we should have thought of that.
Yeah, the closest one on Twilight Zone I can think of like that would have been After Hours, when where people during After Hours would not be mannequins anymore, but would become people.
Ah.
And then, so, but a mannequin isn't a statue, sort of, I guess, but not really.
One could argue, but Fogsbane brings up a good one. Doctor Who, weeping angels with living statues that move closer when you look away. Red light, green light, red light, green light. There, I got my games together. Not the same as...
There you go, yep. All yep, right. Yep, there you go.
Took me a day to get my head straight, but you guys straightened me out on that. Thank you, everyone.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, and of course, it being Saturday, we love, it just fits our time slot since we only do an hour and a half show. We love CBS Radio Mystery Theater. That, and they're just damn good.
Yep, and as I mentioned last night, this is one where I believe all the commercials that they had were left intact. Now, most of them, of course, where they were not national sponsors, they put in public service announcements. That was a spot that you could sell locally. And if you didn't, the public service announcement played. If you did, then you got to insert your own commercial there. Because I know here in Akron, we had a place called Hank's Marathon. It was actually right beside the building where I now work. It's no longer Ooh. Hank. Hank has long given it up. But it's it was just one of the many sponsors of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater here in the Akron area.
Oh, I just thought of a statue coming to life, inspired by Serpent Society over there, mentioning the old Gargoyles cartoon from the 90s. Predating that is an episode of Johnny Quest with the gargoyle that, quote-unquote, comes to life.
Ah, yes, and wasn't the classic story of Pygmalion about a statue coming to life?
There you go. See, between the, five of us with three in the chat right now, we'll come up with goodies.
Something, yes.
Yeah, we'll come up with goodies. There's a good good bank of horror and sci-fi knowledge here, as well as general entertainment, like tonight. A little on the creepy side, but can you give us a sneak preview about Taken for Granted?
And it is a little on the creepy side. I look at some of the people. I love to go read the reviews. And it's so funny how almost every episode has a 50-50 balance of, I really hated this. And the other people says, what are you talking about? It was great. One comment on here is, I first heard this when I was 10 years old, and I've never been able to forget it. And they all agree that it was kind of creepy. They didn't like, about half of them didn't like Howard Da Silva's portrayal on here,
mm-hmm.
but I absolutely love his voice. He's tremendous. We've used Howard Da Silva one other time, at least I know of. We've got some other ones I'd really love to use that we will at some time. We did use for one of our time tables, There's No Business Like, about the guy who went into the future, the guy in the time machine, his seatbelt broke and he got killed when he was thrown against her, and he was. Because the guy died, he was charged with murder, and he was sentenced to show business.
No, that's fate worse than death.
Well, but because in the future, particular episode, in the future, when there was a shooting, there was an actual shooting. When there was a war scene, there was actual explosives and gunfire used, things like that. During cop shows, they were real guns used. So. If you were sentenced to show business, you really didn't have much of a chance of surviving for very long.
Aha.
So go back into the archives. It's called There's No Business Like, and it was one of our time travel, time change weekends there. So it'd be he was just such a great voice. Between one of our segments, we'll explore Howard Da Silva a little bit. I fell in love with the guy. Yes, I'd heard him on Mystery Theater, but at the same time, it's when I was also discovering 1776. And he played Benjamin Franklin in that on Broadway and in the movie. And he has a voice absolutely captivating. We'll go into him after the first segment here. Also, after our Radio Mystery Theater, Dale, I have unearthed another tale of Og and the invention of the statue. So there, something, teaser time, something to look forward to. We've got Og, we're going to prove how Og invented the statue.
Is this microphone working yet?
No, it's not.
All right, then the hell with it. Back to the phone.
I heard you do the phone adjustments here. I heard you through the phone, but that was it, buddy.
Damn it. That's all right. Well, we always find ways to bring you Eerie House Radio.
We do.
Even if it kills us.
And even if you can't hear it when we do it, you know?
Yeah. You dirty.
I think there was only one night we couldn't actually do it. We had to, and it was a Saturday show. We had to flip it over to Sunday just because. No, it was a Friday show. Then we flipped the Saturday show, or Friday show to Saturday, Saturday show to Sunday.
Yes.
Because of good old Blog Talk. But you know
what?
Yes,
and they're so worth the money I pay them.
Well, but we do appreciate how they allow us to present this and the sound bites and everything else that they do. We just don't appreciate when it doesn't work properly.
No. I would have less to say if we were still doing the free thing.
That's true. That's true.
I'd have less to complain about, but now I feel justified in being a professional whiner. Without delving into that too deeply, let's move on to start our fine show. I'm just dying to hear from E.G. Marshall. If you're watching the little slideshow that I attach to the show, depending on how you're listening, we got a picture of E.G. Marshall from the movie Creepshow. And some other really creepy statues I found pictures of. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's creepy. I love it.
But person who wrote things that he heard this when he was first 10 years old. Well, Dale, we would have been 15 when this first went on the air. Episode number 207D, from May 8th, 1975.
All right, class, quiet down, please. Jimmy, would you tell the class what you learned about squirt fruit?
Squirt fruit is what happens to real grapefruit when it gets inside bottles of squirt.
Anything else?
Well, I couldn't find much more about squirt fruit, but I learned a lot about squirt. It's a natural soft drink with no artificial colors or flavors. I guess it makes sense to call grapefruit squirt fruit. Maybe they should put squirt fruit in the dictionary. Also, I like squirt very much.
Very good, Jimmy. Now, class, it's time for music appreciation.
Oh, the grapefruit don't grow on a vine. It ain't even purple, and it makes lousy wine. So call it squirt fruit if you would. Cause it tastes just like squirt, and that's good. Oh, the squirt fruit, it's squirt, it's thick. It's a tangy, soft drink, it's a great party mix. So call it squirt fruit if you would. Cause it tastes just like squirt.
And that's good.
WFAA.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to another hour of mystery and suspense. To an incredible tale of terror among the world-famous granite statues of the secluded Minotti Sculpture Garden in the forbidding foothills of the Colorado Rockies. The silence of the night is suddenly pierced by the frantic cries of a woman inside the caretaker's cottage, trying to call the police.
Operator! Operator! I want the police. Hurry. Please. Oh, God.
Sheriff Talbot.
Hurry.
Oh, now, just take it easy, ma'am. Where are you?
Caretaker's cottage. Benotti Garden. Please, hurry.
Now, calm down. Where's the caretaker, Pietro?
I don't know. I ran here. The door was open. Please, please, hurry.
Ran? From what?
One of the statues. A statue of a man. And I passed it. His hand reached out. Touched my back. Called my name.
What?
It touched me. The statue touched me. Hurry, please.
Our mystery drama, Taken for Granite, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Hank Warner and stars Howard Da Silva. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and by the Florida Orange Growers. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It's your health. And you should know. Dr. Thomas E. Bryant, president of the Drug Abuse Council in Washington, D.C., brings you these important facts about the mixed use of drugs.
The most serious health consequences associated with heavy drug use in America today come with indiscriminate mixing of different drugs. Sedatives followed by stimulants, mixing alcohol with sleep-inducing pills like barbiturates. These are the really dangerous drugs because they kill, and overdoses are so often fatal. Yet the problem is not really the drugs themselves, but with why they are taken. It is this underlying need or desire to escape or to feel different that leads to trouble with the drugs. The most pressing need is for preventive measures. Awareness alone is not enough, though it is important. People need alternatives to drugs to make them feel good, to make them feel life is worthwhile, to relieve their depression and their apathy. Supplying realistic alternatives to drugs is a challenge not just for the health professions, but for all of society. It's your health.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C. Let us join the group of tourists in the charter bus parked in front of the Hotel Barrett in Barrettsville, the Colorado Mountain Resort. They are waiting cheerfully and unaware that the one member of the group who has not yet boarded the bus is doomed, if she shows up in time, to take the last ride of her life.
Attention, please. Are we all here? Now, we should be 24, yes? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 20, 22, 23. Oh, still one missing. Always one missing. There's always Miss Masterson. Oh, that young lady will be the death of me. It's just not fair to the rest of you. Well, I ought to go see what's keeping her. Oh, here she is coming out of the hotel. Hurry! Hurry!
Oh, I'm sorry, I just...
Oh, get in. Always excuses. Okay. John, we go now. Angelo Menotti was born in Florence, Italy. At the age of 20, his genius as a sculptor was discovered by Silas Barrett, the eccentric gold mining millionaire and art collector who brought Menotti here. After working for 15 years, Menotti completed his monumental work. More than 50 life-size nude granite figures depicting the universal life cycle of mankind from infancy to death at old age. We are almost there, about a half mile up this side road. The sculpture garden was open to the public for less than 1 year, until Silas Barrett's young wife and Angelo Minotti mysteriously disappeared. Silas Barrett ordered the garden closed for as long as he lived, 12 years. The sculptures and the parkland were bequeathed to Barrett College with a proviso that permission to visit the sculpture garden could be granted only by the chairman of the Fine Arts Department, currently Dr. Janus Kellerman. Oh, here we are. Now, please remain in the bus, everyone, until the gates are open.
You can walk. Right there.
Are you the caretaker, Pietro Franzoni?
At your service. Signora Mannerheff?
Yes.
Dr. Kellerman phoned me you were on your way. Would you like me to escort you?
Thank you. But that won't be necessary, really. Dr. Kellerman gave me these pamphlets about the exhibit.
As you wish, Signora. If you should need me, I will be in my cottage. I must lock the gate.
Are there any other gates?
No, this is the only gate. There is an iron fence all around the park. When you're ready, your driver can blow the horn. I'll come back in my jeep. It's not far from my cottage here.
Thank you. Oh, dear me, it's clouding up. Do you think it will rain?
Well, could be, maybe. Thunder shower. Over soon. I'll go now.
You can see on your pamphlet the diagram of the exhibit. Now, we will go down this broad path to the self-sculpture of Minotti at work. Then, along the groupings of the life cycle statues. Then, to the fountain. The exhibits are numbered and explained. Behind the curtain of water, falling over the brim of the huge saucer-shaped bowl, are seven male figures straining to support the saucer. Some straining with greater effort than others, reflecting Minotti's philosophy that not all members of society are equally burdened. Oh, we've got to hurry back to the bus. Come, hurry! Hurry, everyone! Hurry! For heaven's sake! We're just in time. In the bus! In the bus! Close the door! John, blow the horn. We'd better start back. Oh, my. That was close. Now, let's see. Are we all here? Now, 20, 22, 23. Oh, no, Miss Masterson again. Oh, this is too much. This is too much.
Are you leaving now, Signora? I shall open the gate.
One of our group is missing. Did you see her?
A young lady? I didn't see anyone. Do you want me to look for her? What's her name?
Helen Masterson. No, wait. Do you have a telephone?
Telephone? Yes, Signora. In my cottage.
I must teach you a lesson. We will not wait. She can telephone for a cab and pay for it herself. Open the gate, please.
Are you sure?
Please, unlock the gate. Anyone here? Hello?
Come in. Come in. You are so wet.
Yes.
You're shivering. Did you get lost?
Yes, I missed the bus.
Come close to the fire. I will put more wood on. Oh, you are cold. Would you like some brandy? Here, drink. It will warm you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, your clothes, they are very wet. Here, I have a warm robe. You go into the other room and take off your wet clothes. We will hang them by the fire until they dry. Your clothes are not dry yet. More espresso? You can try it with a little more brandy.
Oh, yes, please. Oh, this is such a charming room. I just love these animal figures. The frog, the turtle, that cat. They're simply magnificent. Who did them? Minotti?
Minotti? No. I made them. I am the creator.
You? They are beautiful.
You are surprised. I understand. You wonder how Pietro can do it with only one good hand, no?
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize you had...
Oh, that's all right. Look, three fingers on my right hand are no good. Crushed. They can no longer hold a hammer.
Crushed?
Well, a long time ago, when I came to this country, I was an apprentice to Menotti. A big block of granite fell on my hand and crushed my fingers.
Oh, how awful. What a terrible accident.
It was no accident. Menotti was careless. Careless? But sometimes I think he was not so careless. I think he knew what he was doing.
But why? Why would he let something like that happen?
Because he was jealous. He knew Mr. Barrett liked my work. He heard him say so many times. Oh, Menotti, he was a great genius, but... Que sera, sera. Mr. Barrett and Menotti, they built this cottage and made me caretaker here. As you can see, I am still caretaker.
But you are an artist. These animal figures. If you don't carve them, how do you make them look like sculptures? I just adore this turtle.
You like the turtle? Here, for you, take it. A present.
Oh, thank you. I just love it.
You are an art student? You are simpatico. I will show you my secret.
Secret?
Come, I will show you my workshop. In here.
A studio. What are these machines?
This one crushes stone, makes granite chips. This is a grinder to grind the chips and make the granite like sand. The turtle. Feel how heavy it is. Like stone. But not solid stone. I will show you. I take the granite sand. I mix in very thin lacquer, like this, in a blender. I put the mixture in the paint sprayer. So, put a real live turtle on the table like this. Now, you watch and you will see. Spray turtle. So. Now it is wet. I sprinkle a little bit of dry powder. It will soon dry and look like before, but a little bit heavier.
How ingenious. And the frog, the cat, the dog, the birds, same technique?
Mostly the same. I experiment sometimes with taxidermy before I use the spray.
Well, this has been a real pleasure, Mr. Franzoni. My clothes must be quite dry by now.
Miss Masterson?
What is it?
May I ask about your art school?
What?
Have you ever modeled at the school?
Oh, now and then. Why?
If you will forgive me, Miss Masterson, I can tell, even with the robe on, that you have a most beautiful body.
Oh, thank you. It really is rather average.
No, oh, no. It is beautiful. Please, do not be offended. I would like, if you will permit me, to make a plaster cast of you, please, as a remembrance.
That's very sweet, Mr. Franzoni, but I really must be getting back to town. If you call me a cab, we're all going to a square dance after dinner.
I beg you, please.
But why a cast of my body? It will take too long. Why not a death mask?
I work fast. It will not take long. Then I will drive you back to your hotel.
What will you do with the plaster cast?
I will reassemble the sections and spray the entire cast with my granite solution. It will be the centerpiece of my first exhibition.
Well, if it really won't take too long.
Oh, thank you, Miss Masterson. Thank you. Thank you.
Dr. Kellerman, I'm sorry to trouble you.
Oh, not at all, not at all. Now, what can I do for you? Did your group enjoy the visit to the Menotti Garden? Too bad it rained. Would you have some coffee?
No, thank you.
You seem upset.
I'm afraid I am quite upset.
Oh, why?
One member of our group, Miss Masterson, Helen Masterson, she's missing.
What?
She didn't come back on the bus with us.
Miss Manerhoff, are you telling me you left her there? Actually, left her there?
I'm afraid so. I'm afraid something terrible may have happened.
Our horrified Dr. Kellerman has our sympathy. We can understand his agitation. All he probably can imagine is that another mysterious disappearance inside the sculpture garden will revive the notoriety and scandal of the still unsolved mystery of Mrs. Barrett and Angelo Menotti. As for Miss Masterson, it does seem that for the role of a devotee of art for art's sake, she is well cast. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
This is Jack Lemmon. If you are a parent of one of America's 7 million handicapped children, you know how hard it can be to get straight information, especially about special education for your child. Now, the United States Office of Education has a special service that gathers information especially for parents of handicapped children. The service is called Closer Look. Just write to Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013. They'll send you all sorts of free information, including information about the rights of handicapped children, about special education, about what facilities are available in your area, and about parents' groups that can help you. Now, Closer Look can't solve all your problems, but they can give you information that helps. So if you have a child with any kind of handicap, write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013.
A public service message by this station and the United States Office of Education.
Call now. Quick, before it's too late. By about 50 years.
I wanted to take a quick moment here to talk about the star of our show, Mr. Howard Da Silva, the caretaker in this particular episode. I really became familiar with him through the Mystery Theater, and he also did some during the bicentennial 1976. He did a series of short pieces as Benjamin Franklin, kind of reading from Poor Richard's Almanac. And that went on during the year, and I have not been able to find those anywhere. They were, you know, syndicated out. Well, that's one of the things we're going to talk about. Actually, he can't be a commie, because you know where he was born, Dale? Come on, guess it. Guess it. Cleveland, Ohio.
How would I not know that?
I don't know.
No, I'm looking at him on IMDb, Dave, and I can't find where I know his voice from, but it is so distinct, I know it from somewhere.
I'll tell you where you know it from in just a moment.
Here.
I know exactly where you know it from. He was the son of Bertha and Benjamin Silverblatt. That's his actual name. He was a dress cutter. His parents were both Yiddish-speaking Jews born in Russia. His mother was a women's rights activist before his acting career. On the stage, what else would you be in Cleveland? He was employed as a steel worker. He went on to acting and appeared in Broadway as early as 1938 with the first production of Mark Blitzstein's musical, The Cradle Will Rock, in 1938. Of course, working his way there. He just did a variety of things, even getting to the movies. He appeared in 60 movies. Most of them early on. Some of his more memorable roles were as a leading mutineer in The Sea Wolf in 1941, playing Ray Milland's bartender in Lost Weekend. I talked about that last night from 1945. The half-blind criminal, Chimichar One-Eye Mobley in They Live by Night, 1949. He also released an album on Monitor Records, the MP595, of political songs and ballads entitled Politics and Poker. I think that's what ended getting him into trouble, because as the 50s rolled around, you know what happened. That's right, the blacklisting. He became one of the hundreds of artists blacklisted in the entertainment industry during the House Committee of Un-American Activities, which was pretty un-American if you ask me, investigation into alleged communist influence in the industry. Following his March 1951 testimony, which he repeatedly invoked his Fifth Amendment rights, his lead performance in the completed feature film Slaughter Trail was reshot with Brian Dunleavy. De Silva continued to find work in New York on the stage, but did not work in feature films again until 1961, when he appeared in David and Lisa, a BAFTA-nominated performance. He eventually was cleared of charges in 1960, but not before his career in television had also stalled. With no work in television between 1951 and 1959. That's how vicious this Committee of Un-American Activities blacklist was for some people. One of the few television appearances that he appeared in after this, Dale, this is where you remember him. He was on an Outer Limits with Leonard Nimoy in the original Outer Limits version of iRobot. I'm sure
perhaps,
that's where you remember him from. He was the lawyer in that particular version there.
Yeah, perhaps that's where I remember him from. I can't swear to it, but okay, we'll run with that.
But I'm pretty sure that's where. You know what's funny? So he worked with Leonard Nimoy in that Outer Limits. Well, it was the beginning to end of De Silva's blacklist. The show's producer Herb Bronklin paired De Silva with William Shatner when he created a television series for the people. So he got to work with both the Star Trek guys, but never got to work on Star Trek.
Pretty one of those great sets of pipes.
Oh,
that this
does.
Guy has.
You know, there was one other thing I wanted to see about his run on 1766. In 1969, he originated the role of Benjamin Franklin for the musical 1776. 4 days before the show opened on Broadway, he suffered a minor heart attack, but refused to seek medical assistance because he wanted to make sure the critics saw his performance. After the four official critic performances were over, the cast left to go to a cast party, and De Silva went to the hospital and immediately took leave of absence from the production. He did return to it, and he also was in the film version.
Amazing that he got to play such patriotic roles after being accused of being a commie, basically.
Well, and what's funny about that is so many times people played those kind of roles to prove that they weren't communists so that the un-American activity people would leave them alone. And
yeah.
That's kind of what happened with Dana Andrews in the television or the radio version of I Was a Communist for the FBI, and I think it was Frank Lovejoy who did the movie version. And that was just to prove them, hey, I'm not a communist, see? You know, and
yeah.
That's kind of why they took on some of these patriotic type roles.
Oh, that's interesting. Very, very interesting.
It's another Clevelander there.
That's right. It is so much fun to have this particular copy of this, Dave, with all these old commercials.
Yes, the commercials and the public service announcements, it's a hoot and a holler. Remembering how so many of our commercials back then that were actually paid for commercials had jingles to them. And just something that doesn't happen today, just like they don't have theme songs for TV shows hardly.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it anymore. Some do. I know
some
American
do.
Horror yeah. Story does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Which is a little rough for regular TV. Well, let's get on to part two of our radio classic today from CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Taken for Granted.
Each week, the word that sends cold chills to many people of the world. The shifting, trembling earth, falling objects, glass, debris, are a constant threat. A threat to life and property for many countries, including the United States. And should an earthquake or other natural disaster occur, there are relief organizations to help, like your American Red Cross, always reaching out to people in trouble. The Red Cross Disaster Program meets the urgent needs of victims immediately after a disaster or in advance of a potential crisis. Red Cross Help provides food, clothing, shelter, health services, and other basic elements for comfort and survival. It uses all available resources in addition to its own to provide that vital aid. Always there, always ready. Ever extending a helping hand, just like a good neighbor. And that's what we are. Your American Red Cross. Dr. Kellerman faces a dilemma. Recovering from the first shock of being told that a missing tourist was last seen inside the sculpture garden, he must decide whether to call in the sheriff at once or further question Miss Manerhoff himself. He has decided on the latter, which puts him at a decided disadvantage. After all, the curriculum of his fine arts department could hardly include a course in the fine art of murder.
I simply cannot understand why you left her there. It's a totally irresponsible act, Miss Manerhoff.
I know. I know I shouldn't have. I asked Franzoni if he would call a cab for her to take her back to town. Doctor, I'm afraid I was very annoyed. But she was not at breakfast this morning. I asked the hotel manager to check her room just before I called you. Her room had not been slept in.
Well, that is strange.
Well, it happened several times on our tour, going off on her own to dinner and not sleeping in her own room. But she has always showed up at breakfast.
Mm. Well, I suggest we approach this in orderly fashion.
Yes.
First, let me call the caretaker. You can listen on the extension.
Thank you.
Hello?
This is Dr. Kellerman, Pietro.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. Listen carefully, Pietro. Greta, the guide on the bus yesterday, is in my office, listening on an extension. Now, I have some questions.
Yes, Dr. Kellerman?
Did you see a young lady, Miss Masterson, after the bus left?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Miss Masterson. She came to the cottage in the rain. She said she lost her way. She was very, very wet. She was here a short while, until her clothes dried in front of a fire.
Well, did you call a cab for her?
I tried, but the line was busy. I was afraid she would get sick, so I drove her back to town in the Jeep.
Well, did you drive her to the hotel? Are you there, Pietro? Did you hear me? Did you drive her to the hotel?
It stopped raining when we got to town. She said she wanted to do some shopping. I let her out on Main Street near the hotel.
Yes, and then?
I stopped at a drugstore for aspirin. I bought a bottle of Chianti at the supermarket and drove back here.
Well, thank you, Pietro. Well, there, you heard.
Yes, I heard.
I'd better phone the sheriff.
Did you hear, Miss Masterson? Dr. Kellerman, he just called me. Greta was listening. They are wondering where you are. What happened to you? What could I tell them, Miss Masterson? That you died in the cast? That while I was putting the plaster of Paris on your face, some of it got into your nose, and that I went to make some fresh espresso while the cast was drying, and you died? It was not an accident, Miss Masterson. I was careless. Careless.
That's all we know, Sheriff. What I told you on the phone. Unless Miss Manerhoff...
No, I can't think of anything else, Sheriff.
By the way, Doctor.
Yes?
I checked drugstore and liquor store on my way here.
They both confirmed Pietro's story.
Well, I never doubted it, Sheriff.
Yeah, it's routine. Well, guess we might as well put out an all-points bulletin of her description.
Well, I should tell my home office. If she is missing, they'll want to alert her parents in Columbus. I'd better be getting back to the bus.
I'll see you to the elevator. I'll be right back, Sheriff. We look forward to another visit with an art group soon.
We plan to, Dr. Kellerman. Oh, you have a magnificent sculpture garden.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Thanks again.
Goodbye. She's gone.
What's on your mind, Doctor? What you sweating about?
Her clothes. Her bags. Why she left them at the hotel?
Yeah. That's not good, Doctor. She doesn't show up at the hotel by 3 o'clock. I'll go over her room with the manager. Maybe a note, a clue, letters.
You know why I'm so upset about this, Sheriff. You do know.
I understand.
She must be found. Now, it's taken years to live down the mystery of Sarah Barrett and Minotti. You know that we can't afford to have that revived. Particularly now that the Chamber of Commerce wants the garden reopened to the general public as a tourist attraction.
Yeah, well, we'll do the best we can. I got to go now. I'll phone you after I see the hotel manager.
Kellerman speaking.
Sheriff Talbot, Doc. Just gone over Miss Masterson's room. Not a thing. No note, no letters, clothes, and bags still here. Looks bad, Doc.
I was afraid of that.
I'll phone Manerhoff tonight at the Broadmoor. According to her schedule, the group will be leaving there in the morning.
Yes. She'd better be told. Thank you, Ben.
Thought you'd like to see this, Doc. It's a newspaper clipping I got in the mail this morning from the police chief in Columbus, Ohio.
Thank you. Mr. and Mrs. Homer Masterson of Rosewood Heights reported today to Police Chief John Murray that their daughter, Helen, has been missing for the past 2 weeks. Miss Masterson is reported to have disappeared during a chartered bus tour of art exhibits in the West. Well, these things have to come out sooner or later, I guess.
At least there's no mention of Barrettsville.
Keep your fingers crossed. Well, thanks for bringing it over, Ben.
Keep in touch. Bye.
Jane, you can tell that young man, Dr. Larson, to come in now. Sorry to have kept you waiting, Doctor. Have a seat, please.
Oh, I don't mind. I'm on vacation.
backpacking, eh?
Yeah.
I'll just put it down anywhere. I've got your card here. Here it is. Dr. Arnold Larson, assistant curator of Cincinnati Museum of Fine Arts. Well, how is Dr. Murdoch? We were classmates of Wisconsin, you know.
Oh, he's fine. He sends regards.
Well, then, what can I do for you?
When I told Dr. Murdoch I'd be spending my vacation backpacking through the Colorado Trailway, he suggested I drop by to see you.
Good.
And, of course, the Minotti Garden.
Why, naturally. Now, when would you like to visit the garden?
Well, any time it's convenient.
This morning?
That'd be fine.
I'll have one of the men drive you out.
I will open the gates.
Well, welcome, Dr. Larson. Excuse me, I must lock the gate again.
Well, this is magnificent.
Yes, magnificent. Your backpack. I'll take it to the cottage.
Oh, thanks.
Now, when you finish, come back to my cottage, yes?
Yes, thank you.
You have a map of the garden?
Uh-huh, in the brochure.
Very good. You start that way and follow the sign.
Yes, I'm sure I'll have no trouble.
All right. I'll see you later, Dr. Larson. Dr. Larson. You've got a long time. Come in. Come in, please. I thought maybe you would be back for lunch.
Well, there is so much to see. Time passed so quickly.
You had no lunch then. You will have some antipasto and a glass of wine.
Oh, sounds great.
Good.
That was delicious. I didn't realize how hungry I really was.
Mocchiati?
Half a glass. That photograph on the wall of the statue of a man, is that a Menotti, too?
It fools you, too.
Fools me? Well, what do you mean?
It's me.
What do you mean, you? It's a sculptured statue. Oh, you mean you did it?
No. No, come. I will show you in my workshop. Come.
Hey, that's quite a studio.
Here now, behind the screen, hanging on the wall.
What is it?
Here. Hold it. Feel it.
Well, it looks like something made out of a skin suit.
That's right. A rubber skin suit, like divers use. The outside covered with granite powder. Sprayed on with lacquer.
Incredible.
I put on the skin suit. It covers my whole body, also my head and face. Then I spray, set up the camera for time exposure. The photograph, you see, it's me. It's a joke, Dr. Larson, a joke. I have fun. I make what art critics call a living statue. I like to experiment.
I must say, that photograph sure fooled me. I guess I'd better be going now.
Please, you have a few minutes, just a few minutes. I'd like to show you a more serious experiment.
Oh?
Here, behind this stone wall.
Behind the stone wall?
This big stone opens like a door. Now wait. I will put on the light. You see?
A statue of a woman. It's beautiful.
Touch it. Go ahead. Touch.
It feels like granite. Looks like granite. Is it sculptured granite?
No. Plaster cast, sprayed many times with granite powder spray. Good?
Well, I don't know what to say. I am impressed. I'd like to come back sometime and learn just how you do it, if I may. But I'd better be on my way, and thanks so much for everything.
I would like to ask a favor, Dr. Larson.
Favor? Well, what is it? Oh, don't you feel well? You look sick.
What?
Your eyes look...
One favor, please.
What?
Would you permit me to make a plaster cast of you? I mean, the lady is so lonesome.
Me? A cast of me? What a crazy idea. Hey, let go of me.
I will not hurt you, please.
Let go of me. Get your hands off me.
No, do not leave.
Let me go, damn you. Let go of me.
Oh, stay.
Hey, you're hurting me. My neck. My neck.
I do not mean to push you down. Please, I'll help you up. Do not die, Dr. Larson. No. I do not want him to die, Miss Masterson. You believe me, yes? I only want to make a cast so you are not lonesome, Miss Masterson.
It seems our young man didn't quite believe in art for art's sake. Or was he simply one of those social drinkers who can't take even a small glass of wine without getting plastered? I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
I'm High Brown, producer of Mystery Theater. This month, we in Walt Disney World are giving 16 lucky people a week of thrilling entertainment at Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. Send your name and address. Each week for 4 weeks, we'll select winners in random drawings. You could win an all-expense-paid vacation for four, flying to the vacation kingdom of the world. Stay at the Dutch Inn, get free tickets to rides and attractions in the Magic Kingdom, including Disney's bicentennial spectacular, America on Parade. There are 400 Mickey Mouse watches as prizes also. Send your name and address to Mystery Theater, Box 1, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. Employees of CBS and Walt Disney not eligible. Contest void where prohibited. That's Mystery Theater, Box 1, Radio City Station, New York. Entries received by September 3 are eligible for at least one drawing. Winners will be notified by mail.
I'll bet I'm not the only one that's wishing right now that that drawing was still valid.
You know what? I never understood that contest not valuable or not valid where not allowed or something like that. I don't understand why you would make something like that invalid.
I do.
Okay.
Potential for fraud or just the accusation of fraud. Oh, one of your employees won. Uh-huh.
No. It's not. I understand not having the employees or the of CBS or Disney World having that. But the disclaimer was for other places. You know, for states, certain states, it wasn't valid in certain states.
States view it as gambling.
Oh, really?
Yes.
A lot of. Oh, you know what? I can see that South Carolina. I know that they had some people there that still see even their state lottery as gambling.
Yes. Well,
and,
it is.
well,
it's just now it's allowed. Hey, once the government closed down the mafia, they took over.
I just didn't realize. Yeah, I just didn't realize that a free, in a sense, a free lottery in which you could win a prize, not money, would be considered gambling.
I think Bible Belt states really had a problem with it because they felt not so much that it is gambling per se. Obviously not Catholics. Bingo! I truly believe that was the reason. There's places that view any type of thing where there's a random chance as gambling or will induce people to want to gamble.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind control, man.
Yeah, okay. I guess I can understand that. I guess. I don't agree with it, but I guess I can understand it.
No, I'm just explaining the rationale. I don't believe in it either. I mean, if people want to be stupid, let them, you know.
Yeah, kind of like our Godfather's lottery. You know, you pay $2 and you open up every time you win a buck. You know,
yeah.
And play as often as possible. We don't ask you to play responsibly.
That's right.
And the good old Godfather's lottery. Yep. Oh, my. Yes, a wonderful performance by Howard DeSilva here, who appeared in a total of 22 different CBS Radio Mystery Theaters. We've had at least one more. There's a couple of. I don't know whether we played The Fake and The Faker yet. That's a tremendous story. And one of this breed is doomed about the end of the end of the area for con men. Of the carnival con men type people with the old elixirs type stuff.
Yep. Jacques Le Nostre Chat has joined us in the chat, along, of course, with Serpent Society, Fogsbane, Linda Lou, and us too.
Yep. Now the caretaker has claimed his second victim. So the first dead person wouldn't be lonely. Yeah, really?
It could happen. Well, listen, we're going to get rolling because we got to have some time for Ugg. Ugg is coming up later.
I'll get back.
Yeah, so let's wrap up. Taken for Granted from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Hello, everybody. This is Cousin Bruce Morrow for the Foundation Church. Now, these are troubled times. Not a lot of money around. Work's kind of tough to get. Apathy's here. We're disillusioned. Wondering what's going to go down next. Well, it's easy to go along with it, right? I mean, just sit around and say, who cares? You don't let the next guy worry about it. But does it have to be like this? Pride, dignity, truth, being straight with one another. Now, these qualities have not disappeared. They've just gone to sleep for a while, right? But now's the time to wake them up. Only we...
Dave?
Yes?
We're off the air.
What?
I must have scheduled it for only an hour.
Oh, crud.
I fouled up.
Ooh, I see that. Doggone. And I missed it. That's my fault, too. Because usually we watch out for each other.
There's nothing we can do. I don't believe I can schedule another half-hour show. Let me try.
Okay, go ahead and try. And we'd start with the third act, then, if we can.
Yep. Maybe I could set it up for 8 o'clock. I wonder if folks would stick around. Let me try and see. I don't know if that's going to be an available option, but let's go into episodes, create, broadcast today, 8 o'clock. We'll go with 45 minutes. So we have time for Ugg.
Well, Ugg's not that long.
Yep, I can do it.
Okay.
They might not give me 45 minutes. Let me see if they will.
We only need 30 because the last segment's just a little over 15 and then... You going through?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't want it to go too long because I know that at least half the people here will join Gar at they want to join Gar at 8 o'clock, although he usually has this music intro.
Hold on, let me see if I can post the link here.
Hey, Indians have bases loaded with one out in the bottom of the ninth. Score tied 2-2. It's so weird seeing a stadium with just cardboard cutouts there. One hit, one walk, we'll finish this game.
Yep.
One sacrifice.
So I'll actually have to end this episode, and then we'll have to come back for the other one. We'll go fast because it may automatically end at a half an hour because I think I'm only allowed to have 2 hours worth of broadcasting, and we already did an hour and a half.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. So we have to end this one we're on now, and we'll log back in under the new one.
Yep.
All right. So go ahead and stop this, and I'll meet you on the other side here.
I won't even be able to sign in for about 9 more minutes.
Right, but go ahead and end. If you want to go ahead and end this, then I'll just look to see when you get signed in, and I'll join in.
All righty. I'll hang it up.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Something I got to do here.
Okay.
Do you mind turning off the radio?